It's all the files of the whole park. It tells you everything.
Sir, he's uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
It's easily one of the world's most popular messaging apps, owned and operated by Mark Zuckerberg and his Facebook empire.
Facebook has bought the mobile messaging service WhatsApp for $19 billion in cash and stock.
But more recently, WhatsApp has come under some serious scrutiny for some very specific privacy concerns by experts and journalists alike. Motherboard reporter Lorenzo Franceschi Bicchierai is on the show this week to tell us more. I'm Ben Maku, and this is Cyber. Lorenzo.
Hello, Benjamin. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, we're gonna talk about something that I think many people use. I also think this is more of an internationally used product more than anything. I mean, I think globally it's one of, if not the biggest messaging app in the world, and that's WhatsApp. So you've done a lot of work on WhatsApp, and recently you came up with a couple scoops and a couple kind of noticeable things that we all need to remember when we're using a messaging app that is owned by Mr. Zuckerberg's famous company, Facebook. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, just for context, I've been using WhatsApp for probably 15 years at this point. You know, I was living in Europe at the time, and I remember very well when WhatsApp became the app. You know, my friends were like, oh, do you have WhatsApp? Let's chat on WhatsApp, because at the time, texting, you paid by the message. So you paid for every message, and WhatsApp was allowed you to get around those fares. And I honestly did not realize this until last week. So WhatsApp has a feature, you know, what the company essentially calls a feature that allows you to see whether anyone is online. As long as you have a person's phone number, you can add them on WhatsApp. It doesn't matter if they have you on their contacts list, and you can see when they're online or when they're not. And there is no way to turn that off. There is no way for anyone on WhatsApp to hide whether they're online. WhatsApp says that this is a feature. They say that they listen to feedback from users, and they heard that knowing, quote, when someone in their contacts is online provides a sense of closeness when friends and family are chatting with one another.
That's the official line from them.
That is the official line that they gave us when we reached out. And honestly, to me, it's ridiculous.
Well,
you know, when I'm talking,
what about like a toxic ex? Like,
yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, do you really need everyone to know this? And why can't you control that? You can control that on everything.
Exactly. Why not just give this as an option? You know, I understand if you want to keep this as a default, you know, that's fine. You know, WhatsApp has other privacy settings that you can turn off or toggle pretty granularly, like what WhatsApp calls status, which, to be honest, that's what I thought was the online status. You can make it completely private. You can make it only visible to one person. You can make it visible to a dozen people, whatever. But what WhatsApp calls a status is something that I don't think, honestly, anyone uses. Like, I never really check it. And when I do, there's like two people using it in my, you know, 400 people contacts list or whatever. And it's sort of like a mix between a Facebook status and an Instagram story. So it's something like that is ephemeral. And, you know, it's kind of like, hey, I'm here, I'm out here, whatever. But there's no way to turn off the online status. And as you say, the implication here and the real risk, which, you know, people like Joseph Cox at Motherboard and I and other people, you know, Eva Galperin at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, you know, the risk is that there are stalkers out there, you know, especially if you're a woman. People want to know what you're doing, where you are, and whether you're online. And, you know, lo and behold, there are multiple services online that allow you to check whether someone is online on WhatsApp, even if you don't have WhatsApp.
Wait, what?
And there was another website. Yeah.
Whoa, hold on. Let's get into that. Excuse me? There's apps that actually will monitor WhatsApp, and you can give them information. You log it in, and then it'll spit back to you whether or not someone's online. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a website that we tested. Joseph and I tested it for this story. That, you know, it was a simple interface. It just said enter anyone's number and see if they're online. And it works. You know, it worked. We tested it a bunch of times and it worked perfectly. And this website not only allowed you to check one person, you could only enter two different numbers and it would spit out like a schedule of when they've been online together with the, you know, the implicit promise you can figure out whether your girlfriend is chatting with, you know, your best friend or something, which is creepy as hell.
Extremely creepy.
Yeah, and when we told Facebook about this, they said, yeah, we know about these websites. We've been going after them. You know, we try to take them down when we can. But essentially, the company was like, yeah, you know, we have made a decision that this is a risk we're willing to take because people want to feel close to each other, which to me, it's ridiculous. You know, I feel close to someone on WhatsApp when they answer my messages. I don't need to, you know, click on their profile and see whether they're online all the time.
Okay, well, so here's the thing. Let's put on our corporate Facebook hats. Why? I mean, clearly it's not for that reason. It's not because no company in the world is that, that positive about their users, that they really just want them to feel fuzzy and close to each other. Why do you think, honestly, they are doing this? Because it seems really ridiculous. And oppositely, you know, something like Instagram, I remember when Instagram had this exact concept where you could always know if someone was online. And I remember actually thinking like, nah, there's no way I'm doing this. I don't want people to know I'm online or offline when I answer a message or whatever. And there actually was a disabled feature to it. And you could disable it. And I did. So, and you know, as we well know, Instagram is owned by Facebook. So why is Facebook not doing it in this case? Like, why is it to drive usership and messaging? But I kind of, how does that do that?
You know, I have no idea because, you know, this is not to serve you ads. This is not to, I don't think that Facebook is selling this information to anyone, you know, what, just the fact that you're online or not. I really don't know. Like maybe this is like a, you know, legacy feature that WhatsApp has always had and Facebook is worried that if they remove it, it's going to turn off some people. You know, there's obviously a certain element of usefulness to this, right? Like let's say that I want to talk to my mom, right? She uses WhatsApp a lot. I want to talk to my mom and, you know, I click on her name. I see that she's online. Then I'm like, okay, I'll send her a message now. If I see that she's not online, then I may think, okay, I'll contact her later. And that's all well and good, but why not give users the ability to choose whether you want this to be available? And more importantly, how is this, why do you let this, like, why is this feature on for anyone with WhatsApp? Because it's not just, again, this is not only for people that are in your contact list. You know, there's no adding friends on WhatsApp, like, you know, on AOL Instant Messenger or whatever. You know, if I enter anybody's number on WhatsApp, I can message them and I can see whether they're online or not. And yeah, your question is valid. Why?
Like, I really want to know, like, I want to know the actual answer. Because again, like, I don't believe that that Facebook is just doing this for everyone to feel more connected. I know that's like their thing, but I completely disagree. I mean, the whole platform of Facebook was used to drive ad sales and, you know, algorithmically create the perfect profile of a consumer. But I think like you can't tell me that that's the answer. There's got to be something else to it. I mean, you know, one thing I was wondering was, you know, I know at one point that, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that Facebook or WhatsApp had actually gotten the person who, one of the people who worked for Signal, to get them on to work on WhatsApp's encryption. And is that their play to kind of make this the most premier messaging app in the world? Because, you know, like, you know, you have family in Europe, I have family in Europe, they're always using WhatsApp. Like where I'm on like a few like WhatsApp family threads. And, you know, when I've gone around the world to places as far ranging as Pakistan or even South Korea or Russia, everyone uses WhatsApp, I think, probably even more than the US. Is this just some sort of Facebook ploy to continue that convincing of people that this is the one place you need to be messaging?
Yeah, it's hard to tell because really I don't know if people really care about knowing whether somebody's online that much. And I do think that a lot of people would turn that off if they had the choice. You know, like you said, Instagram gives you the choice, and you're definitely not the only one who has taken that that step. Other messengers, I think, also allow you that. Some messengers don't have that feature at all. You know, like on iMessage, for example, you cannot tell whether your friend is holding the phone at the time. On Signal, you cannot see that either. So I don't think this would hurt them that much. And honestly, WhatsApp was already the biggest messaging app in the world when Facebook acquired it. You know, they don't really need, they don't really need to push this app that much. They have 2 billion users. Of course, they would like to have everyone on WhatsApp, but that may happen anyway because of the network effects, right? If all your friends are on WhatsApp and they're communicating on WhatsApp, you're going to use it too. I mean, as an example, as a personal example, like I have a few friends here who are from Europe or other parts of the world, and obviously they have WhatsApp. But then we have some friends who are American and they didn't use it. But now we have a group on WhatsApp where these American friends had basically were forced by us to use it because it's the one universal platform. You know, not everyone has an iPhone, so not everyone has an iMessage. Text messaging is crap for groups. So yeah, WhatsApp is already, you know, de facto the world global messaging app. And I really am convinced that it would not make any difference to its users, you know, whether this was a choice.
Well, here's one thing I can tell you for sure, for all, and I know there's somebody listening that definitely agrees with me. If you're single and you're using WhatsApp, you don't want to, I've like legitimately like deleted messages off my screen and not opened WhatsApp. Cause if I'm like messaging with someone who's doing that, I don't want them to know. Like I immediately like open up their message. We're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Cause you want to be able to leave them on read, right? Mm-hmm. I know people do that. Like I know people, I'm not the only one. And I know other people are as well. Like, and to be honest with you, that and also there's been times where I've gotten messages from family where I'm like, okay, I'll answer that in a bit, but I don't want them to know that I've read it and then mm-hmm. not responded to them, because then I feel mm-hmm. like I'm being rude, you know. And I know I have a friend who I speak with all the time on WhatsApp internationally, but we have a good understanding where we're like, yeah, we don't care if we've left each other on read. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think it's like I do think people would care, and I think people would want to mm-hmm. change it. I don't think that this is something that would be a make or break, but I think it's as you said, there's the nuances in this. It's what messaging companies allow us to do and why messaging companies are essentially, in this case, being the arbiters of our privacy.
Yeah, and this the point that you just made is very important. Like WhatsApp allows you to turn off the read receipts or whatever they're called. But if you don't let people hide whether they're online, that's effectively pointless, mm-hmm. right? I send you a message. I see the two ticks that say you received it. I don't see the blue tick. Mm-hmm. But then I see you online. So I'm like, oh, Ben is chatting with somebody else and ignoring my messages.
Exactly.
So why do you have this other feature and not this other one? It just makes no sense. And they must have numbers and stats on how many people turn off the read receipts. And I remember when they launched that feature, because that was not a legacy feature, I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago, people freaked out. Like there were stories on like national newspapers that usually don't cover technology that much. On their first page was like, how to turn this off, you know, or, you know, stories of people that were sad because their friends or, you know, girlfriends weren't answering. And like, this is the best evidence you have that people want something like this. Why not just give it to them?
Yeah, I don't get it.
And again, you're really opening the door for stalkers. Like these websites that we wrote about, that's who they cater to. There is no legitimate other reason to have these websites, if not for stalking. And, you know, a few days after I wrote the story on this feature, or lack of a feature, Joseph spoke with the founder of one of these websites, and he obviously did not say, you know, we're doing this for stalking, but his response was also ridiculous. He said, quote, "We feel WhatsApp should remove online statuses, access from numbers that are not mutual contacts. This is the only reason we can operate. If they do that, us and all the other apps who do the same will not be able to operate. Basically saying, you're making me do this, which is, come on. That's, you know, like, again, this is WhatsApp's choice. If they turn this off completely or made it a choice, they would kill this whole sketchy industry of websites that let you essentially stalk people.
Yeah, it's exactly it. I mean, like, why would you want to be able to go on any open source site, be able to type in a number and know that person's using a device? That's just really like, there's not as many, I mean, I'm sure there it exists, but it's like going to an open source site that allows you to figure out if your friend's working on his laptop or her laptop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just, again, I really don't see the reason, and it would be very easy to turn this off. Or, you know, I understand if they don't want to turn it off. You know, that's fine. Give it as a choice. Let people make the choice. It's not going to make a big difference for most people. You know, most people probably don't care, but there's definitely a huge amount of people in those 2 billion WhatsApp users that would love to turn this off because they get stalked by exes, by colleagues, by whoever.
I mean,
and they don't like this.
Lorenzo, I've 100% had sources be like, are you on WhatsApp? And I'm like, nah. And I got a fancy WhatsApp setup we can talk about. We can offline about it, but you know, you can't figure out my number from WhatsApp. And you know, frankly, I like to keep it that way. And I also don't want a source, if I'm using them, especially some of the ones that I deal with, to know whether I'm online or offline. Like, I just don't need that in my life. And I think like that kind of says it all. And I'm not the only, obviously there's other people with other examples, but there must be a sizable amount of people that know that.
Yeah, I don't think this is a fringe
No,
a fringe,
I don't think it's fringe at all. Well, I guess, you know what, everyone? Let's all think twice about WhatsApp's messaging system. Something. I definitely wouldn't use it for super secure chats. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think there's better options. And you know, this is another example that WhatsApp doesn't seem to really care about your privacy right now.
Doesn't seem so. Does not seem so. Well, thank you, Lorenzo, for another beautiful, super optimistic, cheery chat. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week, Ben.
Or hear you next week. I will hear you next week.
Yeah, we're still in that in-between time where not everyone is vaccinated, but we'll soon be able to hang out.
Oh, I'm a month in, double dosed. Gotta go. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Sam, you're back. You are now going to do the cipher.
Yay.
And talk about porn.
Of course.
Okay, so our first cipher story is your story. And I got to say, I was attracted to you because I thought it was hilarious. and it's serious, though. It's a serious thing.
Yeah.
And the title of it is, Why Doesn't the Porn Industry Accept Big Handsome Men? And I got to tell you, not that I'm a big handsome man, but I think they should.
Speaking on behalf of, you know, all men.
Yeah, all men. All
yeah,
men.
Yeah. It's I mean, like,
all 150 pounds of me.
Yeah, yeah. The story was definitely fun to do because, like, these guys have been in porn for a while. Some of them, like bigger guys, have been doing porn for a really long time, but it's always been like as a joke. Like, look at this schlubby guy with these hot women type porn, and they're kind of changing the narrative to say, you know, like, big guys are also attractive, and like, that's, you know, a whole genre of porn, and it doesn't have to just be like Santa Claus.
Yeah, I that's the thing. It's like I'd assume that, you know, most people don't just want like some super skinny dude, or they want, yeah, like a, you know, a huskier fella.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, The guys in mainstream studio porn have usually been like rock hard abs, huge dicks, like these very like porn stereotype guys. And these guys are coming in and saying, you know, this isn't how it has to be. Like, you could watch porn and see yourself in it. It doesn't have to be a fantasy of like being that like bodybuilder guy. You could just be yourself having fun with like, you know, real life situations. So yeah, I mean, this was a really fun one. We talked about like bears and chubs, and how like those genres from the gay porn world work into the big handsome man genre. And then they talked about like, they don't get a lot of, recognition. Like, you have like BBWs, which is Big Beautiful Women, are getting more recognition lately. But not as many.
I was going to say, cause like oppositely, there is like more space for bigger women in, in porn for versus like, cause you're right. I mean, I don't think like that's as widespread.
Yeah. And it was funny. This came out yesterday when everyone was talking about Jack Black and how Jack Black was hot, as if that was like a controversial opinion because he's fat. And it's like, you know, fat guys can be hot too. Fat guys are hot. Like, it's, this isn't a hot take.
And also, I've been like, I've actually seen on Twitter this conversation happening more and more. Like, I've actually I've seen reporters talking about it, how they're like, I don't want just some like skinny dude. I want to roll up to a whatever, you know?
Yeah.
A big handsome man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess Ron Jeremy would be happy. Remember Ron Jeremy?
Yeah. God. Yeah. I mean, he did like the everyman type porn and made that really popular.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you can be like this furry dude with a mustache and like this sleazy kind of porn stereotype.
Yeah.
But he also had a huge dick. So
yes.
Like, he was, there were other things about him that like, he wasn't relying on that, like the big handsome man thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, then it turned out that he was actually like a sleazeball scumbag. So
yeah, I was going to say, he did some pretty shady shit, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think these guys are also trying to change that legacy of like being cast in porn as like the gross guy. That's not what we're doing. We're not doing that anymore. It's about, you know, you can be respectful and sexy and
not
also
have a six pack or like a 12 pack or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. Not be like, you know, I've never seen a carb, and you can still, you know, sleep with like super hot scene partners. It's
are there lots of big handsome men like in studio porn at all, or is this just like,
Yeah, not so much. I mean, there definitely have been like guys who have paved the way for that. Tim Von Swine is one. He did a bunch of like award-winning stuff in the past, like, I don't know, 10, like past few decades. So, I mean, it's been a thing for a while, but it's usually like one guy will dominate that, or a handful of guys will dominate that specific genre. And then they can't do like, the crossover isn't usually there. So with these guys, they're saying, you know, we don't have to settle for like shoots that we don't really feel like we're respected in, and like this really like degrading stuff that's been going on in the past, and they can kind of make a name for themselves in their own right. So yeah, it was a fun story.
Well, you definitely shed some light on this for our audience.
Yeah, I hope so.
So something very serious. This was one from Edward, and it was about how there was a Tesla crash that killed two people and nobody was driving.
Yeah. I was reading about that and I was like, okay, well, first of all, like the firefighters tried to dump water on it, and you're not supposed to put a battery fire out with water. It makes it worse. And I'm like, how do they not know how to put out a lithium battery fire? They're firefighters. I don't know.
Well, you'd think so. But basically, so these two guys in Texas crashed into a tree, but there were some questions around whether or not the car was being controlled by them at all, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the authorities who were on the scene were saying that no one was driving. No one was in the driver's seat, I think is what they said, right?
Yeah. Which is, I mean, for like a full self-driving car, essentially.
Right.
And I remember reading that early on when they were designing these self-driving cars, one of the things they would do is possibly have, you know, incidents where they would crash in the algorithm. Yeah. Did you ever hear that? was like, if you were going to run into somebody in the middle of the street, it would just run into someone in the middle of the street.
Yeah. So it's like the trolley problem type stuff.
Yeah. The trolley problem. Exactly. But this seems to be, a bit of a problem for Tesla, this entire debacle.
Yeah. I mean, it's, their cars have been like, I mean, there's been quite a few in the past, like year even, where they've just like burst into flames or like there've been accidents. Where like instances like this where people say that no one was driving. I think Elon Musk was saying that it's not possible that no one was in the driver's seat because the car won't drive without someone in the driver's seat. Like that's a safety mechanism that they have. But I mean, the people who were on the scene with the crash said that there was definitely no one in the driver's seat. So something went wrong somewhere. Of course, Elon is saying, like, it wasn't our fault.
Yeah, I mean, Elon's going to say, does anybody even trust Elon Musk anymore? Like, really?
I mean, Tesla has such a huge fan base, fanboys.
I know.
people really fucking love the cars.
I mean, honestly, okay, so I've driven in one. Like, I didn't drive it. I was in it because I don't drive and I hate driving. But it is, like, a pretty insane vehicle how fast it goes. Like, it's wild. But I guess the thing is that
it seems pretty plush.
Yeah, but everybody I know who has a Tesla is a very wealthy, tech adjacent white boy with a beard. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the demographic you want to be like a part of all the time.
Yeah, you're buying into like a fan club, I think, at that point. Which people do that with cars anyway. Like there's, you know, like VW fan clubs.
Definitely. I mean, like, look, I'm just kidding around, but like, it's obviously probably better for the environment that we have more electric cars out there.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, there's some weird, I mean, some weird occult around a Tesla. And also like, there is a certain elitism to it. And then I think in this case, you have two people that literally thought they couldn't drive. They didn't have to be in the front seat. They could be in the back seat and have the car drive them. I mean, that just seems pretty irresponsible to me. But, and you wonder like in the future, if this is just the beginning of self-driving cars and people, only a few rich people have them, not few, but at least, you know, not right. Like a huge amount of people. What's going to happen when like all cars are self-driving?
Yeah. I mean, I would think it would be like at that point, when we get to that point where like it's mass adoption, I would hope that we have figured out whatever these kinks are in the algorithm that are causing them to have these issues. I mean, Tesla and I mean, they've especially had this problem with people thinking that it's fully self-driving, even though all of the materials and the marketing stuff is like it's semi-autonomous.
Yep.
And they got into trouble with that a couple years ago where they were like, you can't, I don't remember what like governing agency said, but it was like, you can't call it self-driving anymore because it's not accurate. And people think it's self-driving because you say it is. But it's semi-autonomous, so you have to have your hands on the wheel at least some part of the time to drive the car to make it safe. You have to be paying attention, basically.
Yeah. I also, but, like, I don't know.
But that's, you know, you don't buy a car to, like, drive it still if it's a self-driving car. It's like, I want it to drive itself.
I mean, just, like, but also, like, watch, like, if I ever get old and there's self-driving cars, I'm going to be that one guy. I'm going to be like, my day, the car, I drove my goddamn car. I ain't letting no goddamn robot. I'll be yelling at my robot grandkid.
Yeah. My God. Even then, I'm going to be like the old lady who's like, I'm going to sit in the back seat of the self-driving car because they took my license away. Yeah, like, yeah. 20
just
years
drinking,
ago.
Drinking margs.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, chauffeur me, driving Miss Daisy, this Tesla around.
All right. So this story is, I mean, cue the music. My favorite. This is, I mean, honestly, I know I cover like terrorism, but my favorite beat is the UFO beat. It's just, it's the fucking shit. And I do believe, we've never talked about this. Do you believe in UFOs?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like the odds that something else is out there has got to be high.
It's just getting
based
weird, Sam.
How small we are. It's just getting weird. I mean, I watched the video of the one in Hawaii, that the story we're talking about now, where they saw like the blue light.
Yeah. So in December 2020, this is like, I remember it was like a few days before New Year's. There was if people remember, there was a bright blue UFO that was seen kind of going across the sky in Hawaii. And basically we got a story that the Pentagon was interested in knowing what this was, but there's no record of anything flying through the sky that night. So, woo. And did you see the latest one? I think it was like, there's another UFO story like, I think last week, where that, like, that floating, like, disc, not disc, it was like a triangle. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
What the, like, what is this? I'm sorry. Like,
I don't know. I don't know. Shit's getting weird. I mean, I've also read in the story about the Hawaii one that there has been more UFO sightings in 2020 than ever before.
Yeah, I mean,
I really wonder why that is.
Well, I think it's
because
of the pandemic.
Are we just looking at the sky more?
I think it's a pandemic.
Like, less light pollution, or what's the...
Less light pollution. I also think, like, people are in their houses more and looking in the... You know what I mean? Like, I think just generally.
We're just bored.
You're bored, like, seeing stuff, you know.
Hallucinating.
Although, also, like, the other thing, too, is that on top of the fact that I think we're bored, there is weird shit flying in the sky because you keep seeing these ridiculous fucking videos where something is... And you're like, I don't know what that is. It's either, like, a superhuman thing the Pentagon is not telling us about.
Yep.
Like, they have some control of technology that we didn't even realize was possible. And somehow, for the first time in history, the U.S. government has managed to keep a secret. Or... or it's like, I don't know, something's coming after us.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that the statements that, I mean, the Pentagon put out were crazy because it was like, it's technology that we don't understand.
Yeah.
Or it could be that. It could be like something that can fly through the sky faster than the speed of sound, but not create a sonic boom.
Yeah. And also, I remember one of the descriptions of it that by some like pilots was that like it defied all human technology.
Yeah, I feel like they don't say that lightly.
No, and it's also like, I remember talking to, because I heard about UFOs from different Air Force people in Canada who used to do, because in the North Pole, Canadian fighter jets like patrol like where Russian planes will constantly fly into and then fly out as part of like the North American like defense treaty with the U.S., mm-hmm. And they would be like, we would see weird shit in the sky all the time.
Yeah.
I remember being like, that was like, what? Like, what? Why are you telling me this? Someone's going to knock on my door with like a man in black. Like, don't tell me that shit, man. I want to know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's atomic information.
It seems like it should be classified.
Yeah. But anyway, like, I don't know. It's super weird.
It is weird.
We have some great reporters on this. And actually, one last thing on this. Today, we released a story that all these commercial airlines in Canada, like, released that their planes have, like, seen all sorts of weird shit.
Like, the pilots are seeing things?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, man.
I don't know.
And I don't know if you've ever seen, have you ever seen, a F-18 flying before?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. Not that I know of.
A couple times flying into Denver, because I think there's an air base near Denver. I can't remember where. But anyways, I've seen... like F-18s or I guess maybe even F-22s
mm-hmm.
fly by and like you're in an airplane going what, like 800 miles an hour or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And this thing is just like whizzing by you. And you're like, so anything that's just like outrunning that, like
that's crazy.
That's terrifying.
I would be like,
terrifying.
That was an alien.
Yeah.
That's technology that I don't
know. I've seen enough movies to know that it's an alien. It's an alien.
I think aliens are scoping us out. And they're flying by and they're being like, that's a mess. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Keep driving. Or just like,
yeah. Or like, just wait for that plague to take them and then we'll come and steal their planet.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, that's almost. That's almost through.
Well, on that note.
Yeah, very nice.
The end of Cypher. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Ben.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.